It is so good to have you here, to look out and see your faces and to see everybody worshiping. It's just wonderful. We are never going to take for granted again koinonia, which is the fellowship of the saints. There's nothing like it. There's even a different word in the Bible to cover us getting together. I want to talk before I get into the word today. I brought in some resources that are in our coffee shops. I'm not sure if I think they're there for Calgary, some of them, and more coming in, some books. But there's also some series. All of us need to be studying and spending time in the Word because faith comes from the Word. This series is called Forgotten Faith, and it's available at the coffee shops. Get one there. This one's called How to Activate Great Faith in Your Life. I want to encourage you to feed yourself, listen to audio. Also, I brought in some great books that I love. This one is called The Believer's Authority. For some reason, an unpreached message the church even looks at is understanding authority, which is the key to understanding so many situations in our lives. Another one is called What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. And so there's some great resources there. I want to encourage you to go get some. There's a lot of other books, a lot of other tape series, and just take it and get into it every day. Spend some time there. Well, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your church is victorious, that you're coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, that you said to make your enemies your footstool. You said, Father, occupy till we come, till you come and receive us. So, Father, I pray for the church of Jesus Christ around this world. I pray that you raise up the ministers of the gospel, the fivefold ministry as never before. I pray that the mighty men and women wake up, Father, from country to country. We pray that your glory is going to be seen on this planet from sea to shining sea, from nation to nation, from language to language. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that your kingdom is here, that your kingdom is growing, that Father, the kingdom of darkness has no ability to snuff out the church of Jesus Christ. So we speak blessing over it. Bless us here at Springs. Guide us, Father, in all that we do. Bless our message today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a stunning verse in the Bible that I heard as a very young man. I remember my father preaching this. I remember other pastors preaching it out of Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. It says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by just flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Today I want to give you five thoughts, if I can get through them. Five thoughts about turning you into somebody of incredible strength and someone who isn't just walking around strong, but is doing exploits with that strength. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it tells us there to be strong, not in your own strength, but to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Authority is a huge issue. We've talked about it. I want to encourage you to study on it. But when Jesus spoke to the disciples after he arose from the dead, he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven," which he already had as Jesus, "but and on earth." So you and I need to understand that there is no other authority that overrides the authority that you have been given in Jesus Christ. I am not afraid to walk into demonic situations. We are not afraid to walk in where we need protection and blessing. The other day, I was just meditating and praying, and I don't know about you, but I daydream sometimes. And in this daydream, I saw a government figure, like a president of a country, walking. And as he was walking, there's about 10 of men, you know, the Secret Service, and they're all wearing these special suits, and they're staggered in this crowd, walking beside him, around him, in front of him, behind him, their eyes just scanning the crowd, scanning the buildings. The Lord just spoke to me and said, everywhere you go, that's what the angels look like, walking around you and protecting you. And I want you to know, according to Hebrews chapter 1, the last verse, it says, for you all the angels are ministering spirits to anyone who is born again, a child of God. So if you need to see a vision, you need to recognize when I walk somewhere, I'm surrounded, and not just by a few 6-foot Secret Service, but huge warring angels on alert, filled with the power of God, and everywhere you go. So get that picture on the inside of you, that we are strong, we are protected, we are covered by the presence of God, by the angels of God, by the word of God, and we can get up and do exploits and stop being afraid. It's time to think like God, not think like this world. We know this world tries so hard to remove the spiritual from Christians. They try so hard to remove the supernatural from Christianity. They want to laugh at you if you pray in the Spirit. They want to belittle if you believe in miracles. Even a majority of the church world today are cessationists. They believe the day of miracles is over and we're just a bunch of poor humans. We get to go to heaven one day in the sweet by and by, but they have no understanding that the authority still remains upon the church, and that the miraculous power of God that started the church is what is growing the church, healing physical bodies, driving out demonic presences, the prosperity and the favor of God upon careers and influence to help us influence and to pay for the things that we should be doing as believers. But the enemy would love to get you to kind of poo-poo. Do you really believe God can bless you? Or, you know, can he really make your business rise up and prosper? Like, are you kidding me? Come on, let's get back in and think the way God wants us to think. This world has its culture, its limitations, its worldview, and it'll keep you snared in the ordinary when God has made you extraordinary. It is not possible. I'm going to number these thoughts just to get through. Number one, it is not possible for you to create lasting impact in the world till you conquer your personal inner challenges and your personal controversies. Inside of you is a controversy, an argument that is going on all the time. There are challenges that you grew up with, the way you think, and you've got to make a decision. What am I going to do about this? And if you just live out those controversies, these arguments that are forever in your mind about, yeah, well, you're not that great, you're not going to go that far, you know, others can do it, but not you, or what? Ever. I've done the worst sins. People know who I come from. Whatever is going on, God made a huge effort to use people all through the Word that the world would reject. From David, the least of his brothers, to Moses, the stuttering shepherd on the backside of the desert. And the list goes on. You know, one of the problems today is religion has completely limited what a human being is. In Psalms 8, 3-9, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon, the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you could even be mindful of him? The son of man that thou visits him. For you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, the sheep, the oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You know, according to the scripture, human beings are literally tiered between God and angels. You know, here, this verse, this is a very unique portion of Scripture because of how it's been interpreted. When it says you have made us a little lower than the angels, the word there in the Hebrew is Elohim. It has never used anywhere else in the Bible that I can find for the word angels. It actually is the word for God. But the translators couldn't in their minds believe that man would be just a little lower than God. I've taught so many times that if we are children of God, then we must be in that family, that class of God. Cats have kitties, dogs have puppies, horses have colts, cows have calves. And you are a child of God. You are made just a little lower than God, Elohim. So that means the angels, according to Hebrews 1:14, are our servants. We are between angels and God in the classification of all of his creation. There is nothing between the human race and God as far as being superior. And so we've got to stop thinking of ourselves as poor, pathetic, bad little human beings, weak and unable and just wandering through life. And if you knew how many problems I had and how many fears I had, oh, shut up. That's everybody. We've got to recognize that we are made in the likeness and the image of God. We can have the mind of Christ. You know, people have a mindset of self-underestimation. Sounds like lousy English, but I'm going to say it again. So many people have a mindset of self-underestimation. They are presumptuous in their thinking. They already presume that because of how you were raised and what you have done, that you can't ever do anything great for God, that God will never trust you, has never given you any great gifts. And you've got to understand, that's not humility, that's stupidity. The enemy would love for you to live in this world of you're just a poor little messed up sinner barely saved by grace. But the Bible says you are a saint, that you are now forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you are saved, regenerated, that you are the apple of God's eye, that he wants to use you and bless you. And so this false humility that religion has brought in is such, it just destroys the ability for the church to rise up and believe that amongst us is not just presidents and prime ministers and doctors and Senate and politicians and the greatest business people, but within every one of us is supernatural ability to get there. Not just natural ability, we have an unfair advantage over the rest of the world if we would begin to believe that. And any human being can have that relationship with God. Stop presuming and stop being presumptuous that you don't add up. Stop having this incredibly poor self-underestimation. You know, well, Leon, so many people think too much of themselves. No, they don't. People who act superior feel inferior. I've noticed it all my life. The person bragging about themselves just needs you to compliment them because that's how low they feel about themselves. It's not, this issue of pride is not underestimating you. In fact, humility isn't having a low opinion of yourself. Humility is recognizing who makes you great. Humility is to be meek, which literally means that incredible war horse, trained to be instantly obedient to the rider. That's what meek means. It's what the Greeks called their war horses once they were fully trained. And when you read in Job and other books about war horses, how they would literally just paw the ground. They couldn't wait to dive into the battle. That the sound of lances and the sound of swords smacking the shields actually made him want to jump into the fray. No fear. Run into battle. That's what a war horse was. And he's saying the meek shall inherit the earth. And we've got people saying, yeah, well, that just means just stay dumb till he comes. Just be this innocent little, you know, guy wearing flip-flops and a dress. And we'll just, whatever happens, happens. And this is just, you know, what we are as Christians. Man, you don't know what Jesus looks like today. Read Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2, what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looks like. And let's get a whole new attitude attitude about the believer. You don't have to be proud to rise up, but you need to know who your God is and that you're made in his likeness and in his image. And you've got to stop having this false humility. I'll meet leaders all over the world and they just have this certain posture, some of them, and some of them, they just talk and they're so sweet and innocent, you know, just like a little rabbit. No one's afraid of a rabbit, you know, and this is just who we are. The Bible says that we don't serve the poodle of Judah or the rabbit of Judah. We serve the lion of Judah. And if he's the firstborn of many born-again believers, then we're to be like Christ, then get an image. He's the lion of Judah, not the rabbit of Judah, the poodle of Judah, or whatever other religious wrong visual that you have. Now, we do need to understand, number two, that God's choice in choosing us for assignments is out of mercy. When you look at somebody that you respect as a Christian leader, don't go, wow, they've got it. No, they don't. Listen to this in Romans 8:23. And it says, and why is that? To make the wealth of his glory known to vessels of mercy that are prepared for great beauty. These vessels of mercy include all of us. Did you know that God was merciful when he chose me to be a pastor? He was merciful when he chose you to do something. Nobody is here because we're born better than everybody else. Man, it is God's mercy. And he decided to put gifts inside of me in this direction and gifts inside of you in that direction. It's not because we're something special. It, as far as over and above other human beings, it is because his mercy. Every gifted person on the planet has that gift because God's mercy looked at them and deposited within them the giftedness, whether it's to create computers that touch the world, whether it's to sing music that makes your name known forever, whether it is to lead a government that changes the world. It doesn't matter what your giftedness is or what you do. So stop looking at somebody gifted. Stop looking at somebody incredible. Stop looking at somebody that makes your mouth drop and you just go, wow, and look at them and go, that's just the mercy of God. It's his mercy that made him give gifts to mankind. Because all of us are flawed. None of us acts perfectly. None of us has it all together. Now, that's not an excuse to keep sinning. It just means we're growing, we're learning, and even in the midst of this, God in his mercy uses us to do great things for him. Not because of us, but in spite of us. So in the midst of this, recognizing that you're made just a little lower than God, yes, recognize it's the mercy of God that gives you the ability to make that money, the ability to make those kind of preachers, the ability to lay hands on the sick, the ability to be that amazing friend, the ability, whatever ability you have has been given to you by God because he's merciful. The Bible's very clear. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, Saul, which is an evil man, he was an angry, vindictive, jealous murderer. He locked up women, kids, men. And one day a light from heaven knocks him off his horse. And in this whole story, I'm just pulling out a verse or two. And it says here, he wanted to send Ananias to him and he was afraid to go. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now, stop right there. He is a chosen vessel. Those two words are very powerful. You are chosen. That word in the Greek means divinely chosen. There's a specific thing that God has chosen you for and placed gifts within you. Then it says you are a vessel. That word vessel means a specific implement. You don't hand somebody a saw to drive in a nail. You don't hand somebody a hammer to cut up a 2x4. You don't hand a surgeon a skill saw to operate. So implements have specific uses, and you are a vessel. That means God made you the way you are in all of the goodness, the ability, the thoughtfulness, the kindness. Whether you're called to the church as a fivefold, which is a calling, not something you can acquire, or whether you're called to be a minister of the gospel in the education or politics, all of us are called to be ministers, but we've got to understand that you are a vessel very carefully and wisely created by God. You are an implement, an armament, the Bible says, and that not only did he create you this way, but he chose you. So get up and stop being so afraid and worried. Stop waiting for a star or a comet to streak across the sky and spell out your destiny. Just get up and start going, laughing, loving, enjoying, moving ahead in what God has called you to. And while you're walking, you'll find your way. But sitting around navel gazing, you're never going to find your way doing that. So God has made you and I, and he's chosen our assignments, and it's his mercy that has gifted us with the things that we have. Number three, God wants to deliver you from irrelevance to relevance. The Bible says that we are salt and light. Salt is irrelevant in the shaker. It's amazing on eggs. Salt is irrelevant sitting in a bag, but when it gets shaken out over your food, man, does it make the flavor. It is so noticeable, it becomes very relevant. Nothing worse than eggs without salt. Salt not only adds flavor, salt preserves. And so they would always salt meat down and salt things down, and it would last for such a long time. But it says here that we are the salt of the earth. And in Matthew 5:13, it says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If you and I are salt, that means we need to be relevant in our generation. We need to be relevant in the business world that you are in. We need to be relevant as a church in the nation of Canada. We need to be relevant as a church in this present world. We need to be relevant in what we do, not irrelevant, because if salt loses its flavor or its inability to get out there and add flavor, then it's useless. Sorry, but much of Christianity today is become useless, and I'm going to offend somebody, but you need to be, because all they'll do is sit around and pray. Prayers become the fancy word to do nothing. They'll say to somebody, hey, could you come help us as we reach out somewhere? Oh, I can't make it, but I'll pray. Well, hey, we're looking for people to give in a way that helps us to get this. Well, I can't give, but I'll pray. Well, I can't make it to church, but I'll pray for you. I can't get on the mission team, but I'll pray for you. It has become the new excuse or an old excuse for believers who do nothing. But faith without works is dead. And so we need to be relevant, not irrelevant. As you go through the word, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill can't even be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not see your prayer time, not see your godly facial posture. It says that they'll see your good works and glorify. If you aren't going to be a light, you're irrelevant. If you're not going to get up and bring clarity to people's lives, to love and to be strong and stand up to things that are wrong and to pray and believe and get involved, we are light to this world. We are salt to this world. And if we're not going to be salt and we're not going to be light, you, my friend, are irrelevant. You as a pastor watching me today, your church is irrelevant. You as a prophet or a pastor or an apostle or whatever you are in the ministry, if you are not going to be salt, if you are not going to be light, just sitting around and playing church games with other Christians, whether you are, you know, having your advances or your retreats or playing games with prophecy or whatever you're doing, this world needs salt and it needs light. And we have become irrelevant. And the sad truth is that bad things can happen when good people do nothing. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light that should never be hid under a bushel. We are a city built on a hill. What is the kingdom of God? Is not to be some other religion. The followers of Christ in the kingdom of God are to bring clarity and hope to a world looking for something, but nobody's speaking up. Nobody is being relevant. Number four, when you do anything outside of faith, it doesn't please God. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Today, people don't see any value in studying the word every day. I'll tell people, spend time in the word every day. Yeah, I'm still trying, Pastor. Rubbish. The word try is a weakling word. The word try is a coward's word. The word try is saying something to get you off the hook. So if I say, hey, you want to get together for coffee? Hey, pretty busy, but hey, I'll try. Hey, do you want to help us out? We're going to do something within the church. You know, my life's pretty busy, but I'll try. Try is a way of saying no, but you don't have the guts to say no or have a reason to say no, so we'll try. If you drop your pencil and I say, hey, could you pick that pencil up? You don't go, I'll try, because you know you can do it. Jesus never used the word try. He fished till he caught. He didn't use the word try. He went out and looked till he found that lamb. It doesn't say Jesus tried to find him. It doesn't say Jesus tried to fish. Jesus went and fished and caught boatfuls. Jesus went out and found the lamb that was lost. What Jesus did was never try. That's a weak religious word. And so when you do anything outside of faith, and so many Christians today, they're not raising up their faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. But oh, will we really stay in the word so we stay in faith? So that when we go to work in faith. So when we have a marriage, we do our marriage in faith. We raise kids with our faith. So when we talk to our friends, we talk to our friends in faith. Everything we do, when we do it in faith, it means you are believing and relying on God's word and his ability in you and who you are, what the cross is done. You're so full of God's word, they can't shut you up. There's a great preacher years ago, and I think it was Jack Coe, and he died young. He just preached up a storm, but he said, if you put me in a barrel and cap it, I'll preach out the bunghole. He just said, when you're full of God's word, you are contemporary and relevant, but you're filled with the Spirit and people are attracted to you. There's so many times people will look at me somewhere and they'll just say, what's different about you? One time I was sitting in a restaurant and I'm sitting there minding my own business, having a cup of coffee, and this huge bodybuilder comes over. I mean, he's got his t-shirt on and he's flexing just right. And he looks at me and he walks up to my table. I'm sitting there and he goes, I'm stronger than you. And he did it this way. I'm stronger than you. I went, oh boy, what have I got now? So I went, cool, man. I want you to know I'm stronger than you. I said, cool. But then he bowed his head and he said, but I've been watching you come here for coffee and you've got more power than me. So I look at you when I see you walk by and there's something about you. You radiate power. I said, have a seat. I shared with them Jesus, how the King of all kings lives within me. The name that every other name bows to has been given to me as my inheritance. And I just took him down the road of power. And why? He gave his life to Jesus Christ, began to come to church. I want you to know that when you get full of faith, full of God's word, there is a godly confidence that comes over you that you don't have to put on and fake it till you make it. Anything that we do outside of faith, the Bible says it doesn't please God. It's just you in your own efforts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says here, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. I don't even know what to say about that verse. I don't even know where to go with that verse. How do you even begin to explain that when you give yourself to God, God and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that everywhere you go, you are one spirit with the God of the universe. If the human race could ever begin to understand the value in one baby rising up, the value of one woman using the giftedness God has placed in that vessel, the value of one man who knows God. You know, they're killing babies by the millions. And the stupidity of this is, besides the morality of it, that every one of those babies is a vessel being given gifts. Every one of them has a calling. One of them might have had cures for cancer, someone else cures for diabetes, someone else a cure for governments that could learn and grow. There's giftedness in every one of them that would change the planet. That was the call of God. But they're gone into eternity because people just think abortions are cool and they're okay. Number five, I've got to hurry here. When we understand who we are and we stay in God's word, you got to understand that there is a fence line around you. The Bible says no plague, no nothing to worry about will even come near your dwelling. And one of the beautiful Bible stories about this is the story of Egypt. When Joseph went to Egypt and saved the world from hunger by interpreting a dream and understanding there's going to be 7 great years and 7 lean years. And so during the 7 great years, store up, he saved then Egypt. And so he went and prospered in a land called Goshen. Goshen was this place within Egypt. And then as the Pharaoh's came along and others rose up, they forgot who Joseph was and they imprisoned the Israelites. So when it was time to remove them from slavery, Moses came and said, "Let my people go." And the arrogant Pharaoh said no. Up until Moses walked into his world, one man walked right up to his throne and said, "God, God of the universe says, let my people go." Who you? The next was a demonstration of power like the world had never seen before. 10 plagues, one after the other. The water was turned to blood. I heard someone try to explain it that, oh, there's some kind of a plant that grows there and the water turns red every once in a while. Oh, baloney. If God said it turned to blood, he didn't say it turned red. He said it turned to blood. It was undrinkable. But in the land of Goshen, the water was fine. Frogs filled the land, filled their food, filled everything, except at the land of Goshen where God's people were, there wasn't a frog that was past that fence line. Then, when he wouldn't listen, lice. If you've ever had lice, I haven't, but I've seen people and what it does on TV the way it bites and it gets in, and lice filled the country. But right up onto the edge of the land of Goshen, it never touched God's people. Flies came. You ever had flies so bad? I don't know if you've ever been in different places filled with flies. They're in your eyes, they're in your ears. They're everywhere. You can brush them off and they're there before you even put your hand back. It's horrible. It's brutal. Animals will run to their own death in farms and things and ranches if you don't deal with flies. And then, except the land of Goshen, not a fly. Then the death of their livestock. It says their livestock just died. Except in the land of Goshen, their livestock was fine. Then boils came on bodies as this wicked Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. Plague after plague. And these boils came on their skin. But not God's people. There's a couple million people living in the land of Goshen that nothing touched them. Then locusts came and destroyed every plant, every crop. Now we've got famine, except in the land of Goshen. Then darkness came. Then the death of the firstborn, except in the land of Goshen. The Old Testament is a type of our born again life. And you and I need to recognize the promises of God are ours because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're living in a world, please don't forget your Bible. You know, I heard someone mention the other day, there's a new porn in the world. It's called fear porn. You like to watch 13 episodes of CNN. You want to watch day after day, oh, how bad this virus is, and you've just got so much confidence in people who don't even know what they're talking about half the time, but love to make news and exaggerate the news and be a star on the news. You don't get to be a star on the news by minimizing anything or just calling it what it usually is. You got to exaggerate it, blow it up, make it so you get a, and we got to understand something. And I'm not belittling something, but I'm not magnifying something either. Believers today, I'm talking to people who are living in fear. They're freaking out. And I'm going, listen, the word of God says no plague will come near your dwelling, let alone your body. We must believe. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Get back into faith and find out what the word says. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, do you want to know the scariest thing that took place there? The enemy began to tempt them to not believe that everything in the Bible, or no, that to tempt them that everything God said wasn't that important. God said, don't touch the tree. Actually, he said, don't eat of the tree. And the devil would be like, didn't he say don't touch it? And he knows that, you know, that you're just going to become like him. The enemy began to tempt them so that they begin to distrust some of the things God says. Today in the Christian world, good Lord, everybody believes the Bible except... I've got news for you. You can bank your life on this Bible. You can know that God's word works. And my challenge to you today is this. Those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. You go ahead and live with all the giftedness that's been placed in you as a unique implement, a unique vessel, a unique gifted person. Go ahead and live your average, dull, boring life, or get a hold of God's word and rise up in victory and recognize that my strength is in God, my energy's in God, my authority's in Christ, and I'm going to go do exploits with my life. Get up and be the person that other mums at the school get encouraged by. Get up and let that place that you live know that there's something happening within your life. Get up and do something with your life that God can use. Get into the word. I want to challenge you today. Get a hold of some great teaching and start listening to it in your car while you work out, while you go for walks. If you're a reader, pick up a book and every day spend time meditating in God's word, because faith comes by hearing the word. Getting into God's, listen to this message. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. Get in there and listen to it every day, at least once this week, till you could own it and preach it. And it just stirs you up in your heart and brings strength into your life. Father, I pray right now that you would touch every person listening to my voice. I pray right now that you would raise up these young men and women who are looking for hope. Father, at a time when it's been proven some little virus can shut down all the financial gurus, all the government gurus, but it can't touch the church of Jesus Christ. And so I thank you right now that you're going to raise up springs in every other church in an amazing way. This is going to be the greatest opportunity for the kingdom of God this world's ever seen. Bless us, God. Us and every individual listening to my voice. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. If you're unsure, if you've never even considered it, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I want to follow you. And say that just to yourself. If you're in a crowded room, if you're in a hospital or an intensive care, wherever you are, just say to him, Jesus, come in. He can't till you give him permission. He's a gentleman. He'll never force his way into your life. So just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord, my Savior. And then let us know. Email me at info@springschurch.com.